thank you for this day, and we thank you that revival is happening in our nation, Father God. We thank you, Lord. I just decree right now, by the Spirit of the Lord, that the word that you've given Pastor Mickey is going to tear down altars in this nation, Father God. I just thank you that you will give him the anointing of David Wilkerson and Leonard Ravenhill combined, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, that you give him the unction and the anointing to speak and give us the words, give us the ability to hear by the Spirit of God what you are saying. And I thank you, Lord, that you confirm your word with signs and wonders even as it's being preached. In Jesus' name, just like you did with Jonathan Edwards and throughout history. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, one of the things that I was listening to the news today. In Louisiana, the governor of Louisiana is declaring a state of emergency in Louisiana because they don't have enough policemen. In other words, a lot of the policemen have quit, and it's the same way nationwide.
It is, yeah.
Nationwide, you can't get hardly people to become policemen anymore. And the governor, now stop and think about this. The Louisiana governor declared a state of emergency in Louisiana because they don't have enough policemen. That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild. Now let me tell you another one. Also, in the United Kingdom, they're locking up street preachers for preaching hate speech. If you're preaching the gospel in the United Kingdom, which is in England, they declare that hate speech and they're locking you up in prison. Let me tell you something. That's coming here because it's going to hit Canada probably first. I think they're already locking up people in Canada for preaching hate speech. And I'm just telling you, that stuff is that's pretty bizarre stuff, and I'm gonna share some a lesson with you today, and it's called Back to Basics: A Revival of Holiness. And and some people would say, well, you know, Pastor or Reverend or whatever you want to call me, that's a legalistic sermon that you preach. And I say, here's what I say. It's not legalistic, it's realistic. It's a realistic sermon. It's what the Word teaches. And I'm going to show you by what I'm teaching that a lot of Americans and a lot of American preachers haven't really been preaching the truth.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
They're not preaching the truth. They're preaching things that people want to hear is what they're doing. And so in Ezekiel 18:20, and this is in the Old Testament, Ezekiel, and it lines up with the New Testament once we get there, but I'll show it to you. Ezekiel 18:20, I'm going to start reading there. I'm going to read down to about verse 32. Let me know.
There.
Okay, Ezekiel 18:20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all of his sins he hath committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord? And not that he should return from his ways and live. And that's the question the Lord's asking.
Right.
Okay. Verse 24. But when the righteous turn away from his righteousness and commit iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he has done shall not be mentioned in his trespasses that he hath trespassed and in the sin that he has sinned. And in them shall he die. That's what God's saying. If he turns from his righteousness and starts committing sins, and he dies in his sins, he'll be judged for that. Mm-hmm. Verse 25, yet you say the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal, and are not your ways unequal? Verse 26, when the righteous man turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity he hath done shall he die. Verse 27, again, when the wicked turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and do that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live, and he shall not die. Verse 29, yet saith the house of Israel that the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal, and are not your ways unequal? In other words, God's telling them, my ways are equal. You're the one that has unequal ways.
Right.
Verse 30, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every man according to his ways. And saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so that your iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away, verse 31, cast away from all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dies, saith the Lord. Whosoever turn yourselves... wherefore, turn yourselves, and ye shall live. Today's Christians does not believe this applies to them, this type of scripture, because of grace. A lot of Christians believe that this doesn't apply to them because of grace. And I've got this, some teaching I've had, it's out of dates and some other things. Here's some things, and there's like 30 things that grace can't do, but I haven't wrote 30 of them, but I've wrote some of them. Number one, the things that grace cannot do. Set aside all condemnation for future sin. And let me give you an illustration. Say a man robs a bank. Mm-hmm. And he robs a bank, and he goes to court, and the judge, out of for whatever reason, and judges can do stuff like this, the judge is very benevolent to say, well, sir, because you've robbed this bank, I could send you to prison for 30 years. But because I have compassion in my heart for you, I'm going to set you free. And they can do that. It probably ain't going to happen, but they can do that. Mm-hmm. Okay? So the guy gets set free, goes back out, robs another bank, and they take him back to the same judge. Now, that judge could let him go. But most likely, he's not going to let him go.
For the second time, no.
No, that's what I'm saying. And that's the same thing where people, they call it hyper grace, where hyper grace is over and beyond. Don't get me wrong, God's grace is great. But what happens to us, we as people are like con guys. We're like con men. Mm-hmm. People are. Me and Kingsbury really are really like con men. And we figure a con or a way around something, we're going to do it. Yeah. Well, God is not stupid. Mm-hmm. He's God. Mm-hmm. And he put this stuff in the Bible for a reason. See, and that's what I'm saying. We're talking about legalistic. Well, some people say, well, that's very legalistic preaching, brother. No, it's realistic. What do you want, Patty?
If you think this sermon is legalistic, this is what I felt the Spirit was saying in my heart. If you think this is legalistic, you're missing the grace that God is trying to communicate here.
Yeah, God has nothing but grace for us, okay?
Right.
Let me tell you something. You could be the baddest person in the world. Mm-hmm. You could be Adolf Hitler. You could be Saddam Hussein or whoever. And you could come before God, and before you died, you could repent of your sins, and God will forgive you. If you're genuine, if it's a genuine repentance, mm-hmm. He'd forgive them. You see what I'm saying? But once you die, it's a different story. And see, and I think what's happened with America, the grace of God has got so greasy, we call it greasy grace, has got so greasy that nobody really takes God serious or the Word of God serious. They think, well, God will forgive me. I can do whatever I want. I can live wherever I want. If I die tomorrow, if I die in my sins today, I'm going to heaven. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus and all that stuff. And I just want to tell you, now we're going to get back to Scripture. And we're going to see what the Scriptures say compared to what I just read. Okay? Set aside all condemnation for future sin. Go to John 5:14. And see, I think that this type of messages have to be taught, and it's almost like going back to basics, because there's been so many, I call them polluted messages being preached by preachers that want to, let me tell you something. Preachers don't preach the truth because they're afraid they'll lose their congregation. They're afraid they'll lose ties.
Yep.
They're afraid they'll lose a lot of stuff. Okay? And I'm not saying that about this church, but I'm saying that about churches in general.
Right.
They want, because if that was this case in this church, I wouldn't be preaching. They wouldn't let me preach. You see what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, okay, John 5:14. And it says, afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple. It's about a man who was healed. And said unto him, that are made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing comes upon thee. This man was healed. And God told him, he said, go out and sin no more, lest a worse thing comes upon thee. And see, so people, I know with Jesus, there's a get out of jail card free.
Right.
There is, in grace.
Right.
But I want to tell you that a lot of people are tempting and mocking God, as you'll see as I go in the Scriptures. Go to John 8, 34. Okay, let me read that one. Sorry, I'm a little slow at this. John 8:34, the truth will set you free. John 8:34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. If you're in the church and you're committing sin, the Bible says this is in the red letter, Jesus said you're a servant of sin. That's what you're a servant of. You might think that you're a servant of God, but really you're a servant of sin if that's what Peyton.
If you practice sin.
Well, that's what it says, yeah.
Yeah.
Whoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. Amen. It says, go to Romans, and I'm gonna go through some of these scriptures because I want us to get this in our hearts. Go to Romans 6, and I'm going to start in verse 1. I'm going to read a few of these verses. So just listen to me. I'm going to start in verse 1. And this is what Paul is written. See, and you don't ever hear sermons like this. You don't ever hear sermons preached like this, ever, mm-hmm. in churches.
Okay.
It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And that's Paul asking the question. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus, were baptized unto his death? Therefore we were buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so should we walk in the newness of life. And here's my question to Christian. Are you walking in the newness of life?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Are you walking in the newness of life? Or does sin dominate your life? Now let me tell you something. Sin has dominated my life even as a Christian. But God, through a constant reading of the Word and a constant praying and a constant battle and a constant struggle. See, people say, well, if you're struggling too much, that ain't God. That's a lie. That's a lie. Yeah. When you struggle with this flesh, it is a battle. And see, a lot of people just want to blow it aside, and they come up with this easy believism, well, you're okay, you're good, and all that stuff. And it's a lie. And my job is, as unpopular as it is, to say it's not true. That's not true. You can't live like that. Okay, let me go on with verse 5. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. And so, if you are practicing sin, yep, which it talks about in 1 John, if you're practicing sin, you're of the devil. And you have to really come back to repentance and ask the Lord to help me. And let me tell you something. I've been stuck in sins.
Yeah.
To where I kept committing them over and over and over again. But God, through his grace and his dealing with me, and his patience. I'm not saying that he's not patient. He's very patient, very long-suffering. And some of this stuff I'm talking about, I've battled for years. But God, in his grace, will see you through it. He will see you through it. That's if you want to be set free. That's right. If you want to be set free. Okay, go with me to Romans 8. Romans 8, 12. I'm going to read 12 and 13. Therefore, brethren, you know, we're heirs with Christ. So it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. It says through the Spirit, we're going to mortify. That means we're going to deaden the deeds of the body.
Right. Amen.
Mortify means like a mortician. We're going to deaden the deeds of the body. The sin and the flesh is not going to control us. We're going to be controlled by the Spirit and the Word of God.
Amen.
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 Amen. Okay, let me go on with, I want to go to Galatians 5:21. And some of these scriptures, I'm going to...
5:21?
Yes, ma'am.
Good teaching.
Thank you, Will.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Yeah. I probably won't get invited back, but that's all right. Okay.
Oh, yeah, you're on next week.
Okay, 5:21, it says, endings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of which I tell you before. Now this is Paul writing to the church, as I've told you in times past, they that would do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He's writing that to the church. He's saying, I've told you this in the past. I've told you this in the past. If people's doing this stuff, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. I don't care how much they talk in tongues and how much they do the sign of the cross and all. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so that is, okay, here's another one. Things grace cannot do. Set aside failure of saved men to meet the many conditions of salvation. Okay, go with me to 1 John. 1 John 1:7. And, it says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. See, the key there is walking in the light. Now, what happens is when you're in the light, sometimes the light is going to shine into darkness in your life. And a lot of us, most Christians battle with this stuff sometimes. I mean, I'm almost 70, and I've been battling with it since I've been serving the Lord. So I don't think people are much different than me. But this darkness is going to come against you, and it's going to battle by only your walking with God, your reading the Bible, your praying, and your fellowshipping with God and His people, coming to church and stuff like that, is how you're going to overcome the darkness and be able to continue to walk in the light. You know, let me tell you something. Sometimes you come here and somebody say, would you pray for me? Or somebody pray for me? We don't have any idea what they're going through. But believe me, that prayer that we say for them is so powerful.
Amen.
And means, and let me tell you who it means a lot to. It means a lot to God.
Yeah. Right.
Because God is waiting for that avenue or that way that where He can get in there and help break up that stuff in our lives.
True.
You see what I'm saying? And I preach this, you know, like I said, and this stuff's not popular. They're not going to pick you up on your shoulders and run you around the church and all that stuff. And hell, how great you are and all that stuff. In the Old Testament, they killed most guys that talk like this. In the Old Testament. Okay, let me go on. Okay, let's go to James 5. And we're going to read some of these scriptures. I want people to get this in their heart. And these are all New Testament scriptures. James 5, 19. It says, brethren, if any err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Let me tell you something. Sometimes we're going to see people that's going to make mistakes. I'm going to make mistakes. I've had people come to me and confront me on things that I've done. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
I've had my wife confront me on things I've done wrong. I had a guy one time I was preaching down at the prison in Lexington, when I was younger in the Lord, I had a bad habit of using some slang words, kind of like bywords that you're not really supposed to use. Anyway, I was preaching one day, and I said one of them bywords. So the next time I came to preach there, he came up to me right before I preached. And he said, brother, he said, Pastor, I need to tell you something. He said, that word you said, you shouldn't be saying that. And man, you talk about getting under conviction. Getting under conviction. Now here's a prisoner coming up telling me, I'm the pastor, preacher, telling me, correcting me on what I was saying. And yet, he was right. And that's what I'm saying. See, it says, brethren, if any man do err from the truth and one convert him. Now, I'm not saying that may have sent me to hell, but I was definitely on the wrong track.
Right.
It says, let him know that he that converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save his soul from death and shall hide the multitude of sin. Let me tell you what happens to you. Because, see, if you go with one sin, then it'll be two sins before long.
Yeah.
And then it'll be three sins, and then it'll be four sins, and then after a while it's not sins anymore. They're just, well, that's just the way I am.
Yeah.
And what happens to us is we sever our conscience, and I think there's a lot of people in the church today that's consciousness has been severed.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people in church today, and I think a lot of it's because of the greasy grace message that a lot of churches preach. You
true.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying all churches do that, but there are a lot out there that do that. Okay, let me go to Galatians 5:19. And I got a few more scriptures and I'm gonna close. And see, this is also not going just to here, but this is going out on YouTube. So this is going to go, we're preaching to a lot of people, okay? So if I start seeing you look for a stone, just know it's not all just to you, it's to them too. You know what I'm saying? I'm just kidding. Okay, Galatians 5:19, it says, now the And we read part of this a while ago, but I'm going to read the whole thing. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these. Adultery. What is adultery?
Marriage, sleeping with others.
Yeah, somebody married, sleeping with somebody that's not their spouse. What is fornication? The same thing to a certain degree. What is uncleanliness?
Could be in language, could be in thoughts. Mm-hmm. Something that's not pure.
Well, you know, most people translate that as to do with homosexuality. That's what most people, that's how they mostly translate that. If you study it out and you read that, I used to think uncleanness, I used to think, well, because they got a dirty house.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or their car's dirty or something like that. But that's not it. Okay, lasciviousness is lust.
Mm-hmm.
Idolatry is putting things before God.
Mm-hmm.
Witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murder, drunkenness, revelings, which is partying, and such like, which I've told you before, and I've told you in time past, that they that which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, he's writing that to the church.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing these things, you're not going to the kingdom of God. I don't care. I don't care how many times you get baptized. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you're practicing this stuff, okay, let me go on here with a few more. Here's the next one, and there's a lot of these, so I'm not going to go through all of them because there's quite a few of them, but I'm just wanting to get this across with the scriptures. Permit God, keep men saved when they sin. The grace cannot do that. Keep you saved when you sin. Okay? Now, grace will lead you to, I believe, to repentance.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Go to Hebrews 6.
May I interject something, too?
Yeah, yeah.
Grace also is an empowerment, so it will empower you to live holy. God, through His Holy Spirit, God will empower you to live holy.
Amen, amen. Oh, yeah, hang on, let me give you this one scripture real quick, and then we'll go to Hebrews. It's Galatians 6, 7, and 8. It said, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Okay, now going on to Hebrews, and we're winding this thing down. Hebrews 6, verse 4, it says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were marked and made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now that's pretty plain.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Now I want to go to Rome, to Hebrews, the same book, chapter 10. And it's pretty much kind of the same, but it's... verse 10:26. And this is all New Testament stuff right here. For if we willfully sin after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for the judgment and a fire indignation which shall devour the adversary. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment, so suppose ye, should he be thought worthy of, who have trodden underfoot the Son of God, and counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified in a holy thing, and has done this in the spite of the Spirit of grace. And it says, let me go ahead and read this next two verses. For you know him that saith, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense it, saith the Lord, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. And the reason why I put that out there is, see, God has an obligation to himself and to his word. And if he doesn't go through with what he says here, if he doesn't do what he says here, then it's all a lie. It's all a lie.
Yeah.
If he doesn't do what he says he's going to do. And so let me give you, let me go on and read this one last deal, and then I'm going to, a couple more scriptures, but it says, here's another thing that grace cannot do. Permit God to forgive unconfessed sins. This is something that grace can't do. It says, the servant of God, the servant of the Lord, I'm in 2 Timothy 2:24, and I'm reading out the Amplified. It said, the servant of the Lord must not participate in quarrels, but must be kind to everyone, even tempered, preserving peace, and he must be skilled in teaching, patient, and tolerant when wrong. He must correct those who are in opposition with courtesy and gentleness, in the hope that God may grant that they will repent and be led to the knowledge of the truth, accurately understanding and welcoming it. And they, when they come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. In other words, we've got to have a lot of grace in dealing with people, because there are a lot of people that are opposed to themselves.
Right.
They don't believe that. Oh, God's not that way. God's too good. He couldn't do that. Blah blah blah. So we've got to be very patient, very understanding, very long suffering, very scriptural in our dealing with people.
Right.
Okay. And two more scriptures, and they're pretty short. Go to Revelation 2:5. Revelation 2:5, and it says, remember from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. The first work means going, and it talks about us going back to our first love. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Our first love. And then chapter 3, verse 2. Chapter 3, verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things that will remain and are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. That's Jesus speaking. And it says, like I said, be watchful, strengthen those things that remain, they're ready to die. I've not found thy works perfect before God. And let me say this. Now, God is not some legalistic ogre waiting to thrash us every time we make a mistake. But I think that we have to get serious enough about the gospel, is that are we really living for God? Are we doing the things that we should be doing? And are we serious about... Let me say this. God was very serious when he sent his son to die on the cross.
Amen.
For us. He suffered a horrible death and torture for us. And so I think sometimes Christians think that they're not supposed to suffer. But let me tell you something. When you put this flesh under subjection to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, it suffers.
Mm-hmm.
It suffers.
Yeah.
And so I'm not, like I said, I'm not beating up anybody. I'm not jumping on anybody. But I'm just wanting people to know that, listen, we need to get serious about serving God and doing the will of God the way he has us do it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to lead us in a prayer while we're closing, while we're still on being recorded for YouTube and stuff. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want us to all kind of repeat this prayer after me, and what we're going to do is we're starting fresh. If you've been backslidden, or you've been lukewarm, if you haven't been walking with God the way you're supposed to, this prayer will change that when you say it from your heart, confess it with your mouth, and you believe it, okay?
Amen.
and say, Dear Father,
Dear Father,
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
And I ask, O Lord,
and I ask, O Lord,
to come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
And change me, O Lord.
Change me.
Forgive me, O Lord.
Forgive me, O Lord.
And Lord, help me.
And Lord, help me.
That I might walk with you.
That I might help.
That I might be in love with you more than anything else, oh God. God, I thank you for your salvation. I thank you for your leadership.
I thank you for your
guidance.
I thank you for your gifts.
And Lord, I just pray for those in my family and my friends that God, that they would hear the voice of God and that they would repent and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I want to thank you for that, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, O Lord. Amen.
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 May I end in I feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to end us in, or seal it.
Go ahead.
Father God, we just thank you. Your word says in Galatians 2:20 that it is not I that lives, but Christ that lives in and through you. In and through us. So can y'all pray in the Spirit? Holy Spirit, we just welcome you. Lord Jesus, you are the Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of Christ. So we just declare that this word is sealed in our hearts. Father God, we thank you that through the Holy Spirit, it's no longer us living. We are dead, but Christ lives in and through us by us cooperating with the rulership, leading of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, God.
Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you are even saving Generation Z, Lord. I just declare those statistics about millennials are null and void by the blood of Christ. I declare a revival in this nation of holiness, even as the title implies, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And I want to mention to those online that if you prayed the prayer that Pastor Mickey led us in, welcome to the family of God. Be sure to go to a Bible believing church.
Amen.
Amen.
Hold on just a sec. Welcome to this edition of the Design for Victory podcast. Thank you all very much for listening. And if you enjoyed this podcast, Pastor Mickey has a YouTube channel. It's called Storm Minister 54. STORMMINISTER 54, and also on YouTube we've got a playlist called Sermons from Pastor Mickey Banks. If you'd like to listen to more of his sermons, and also just feel free to take a look around on this podcast, and if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, go to www.stormministries.com, and then on the homepage there's a heading that says contact. You can hit that, and that's where you'll be able to contact Pastor Mickey directly, or you can go right to Preach Unto Them Jesus or Putt J, 7293 Edmond, Oklahoma 73013. Again, that's Putt J or Preach Unto Them Jesus, P.O. Box 7293, Edmond, Oklahoma 73013. And finally, if you would like to, you can also email us through Kingdom Advancement 252, KINGDOMADVANCEMENT 252. At gmail.com, and that's where you can contact us through the ministry the Lord has given me. If you're interested, you would like to get deliverance. First of all, if you need to know more about deliverance, a good podcast is called The Blind Exorcist Podcast. You can find it wherever you find your podcasts. including the Amazon Alexa device and the Google Home device. Also, you can go to justind.com and then type or hit the set new or schedule new appointment button. And there's a place you can go and get deliverance, or boblarson.org or dwjd.org. When you hit the dwjd.org, I know they have other regions in the United in the world, but all I know about is those in the United States, which is where I'm located. So for those of you that are in the United States, the regions, you can, it'll say for U.S. or in U.S., and then you can locate, like in the heading, it'll give you the heading for what region it is, and then it'll tell you the states that are in that region. Once you locate the region, on the very bottom, it'll have a button for each of the regions. There's four regions. And tap on the one that region that you're at. Once you tap on that button or click on it, then you can it'll give you a form that you can fill out, name, email, phone number, message, and then hit submit, and they'll get back to you within 24 to 48 business hours. So, thank you all very much for listening to this podcast, and we'll see you Tuesday night. God bless.